am in hopes that you are finding what you need in these difficult times in our country. We offer the Word of God at Daleville Christian Church, beginning with our affirmation of faith, things we claim to believe as we find them in God's Word, the Bible. This one from John's Gospel in the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of humanity. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The reading of God's Word for today is from the letter of 1 Timothy in the 4th chapter, the first 6 verses. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. I've been thinking about the people who find Daleville Christian Church's sermons on the church's website, dalevillechristian.org. We don't have any subscribers. People find the sermons at Daleville Christian Church because they are looking for something. They're looking for a Bible verse, a Bible answer, or some Bible thinking about some topic, like forgiveness, which we've covered a few Sundays. But these listeners don't know me, and they don't know you, Daleville Christian Church. Sometimes it's good to tell people more about who we are here at Daleville Christian Church, and it's good for us to be reminded who we are, by which I mean it's good to be reminded of what is important to us. We have an affirmation of faith each week to remind ourselves what we believe. That's good. But who is it that claims to believe those things, and why? So let me share. Daleville Christian Church are people who desire to be followers of Jesus. Now, some of us say we want to be more like Jesus. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want that? We want to be more like Jesus because that's what Jesus wants for us. So how do we do that? How do we become better followers of Jesus? As the old song says, how shall we see Thee more clearly, Lord, love Thee more dearly, follow Thee more nearly, day by day? Well, to be more like Jesus, we pray. We spend time with the Lord on our own and in our church worship. That is, we spend time with the Lord in worship, in prayer. And to be better followers of Jesus requires that we utilize God's Word. We turn to God's Word again and again and again. It's important to remind ourselves of that. Why remind ourselves to turn to God's Word? Because that isn't what most Americans do. It doesn't occur to very many people in the 21st century to turn to books written over 2,000 years ago. Some of the Bible is twice that old. The idea to read the Bible never occurs to people who are outside the church. I know of two writers who were not believers and yet read the Bible. Why? It was a book assignment. Otherwise, they would never have opened the Bible and read it. And they certainly wouldn't have downloaded it to read it. And sometimes the idea to read God's Word doesn't even occur to those who are inside the church. I don't need to describe these people to you. They are obvious to me. How many people have told me they don't need to go to church? I rarely challenge these people. Their minds are made up. I'm certain I would not understand how daily use of the church's book, because it's the church's book, Bible's the church's book, the greater church of Jesus Christ is how you and I even have a Bible in our hands, or on our phones, or in our houses, in our own language, because of the church. The church copied the Bible. For 2,000 years, the church copied the Bible, translated the Bible, printed the Bible, digitalized the Bible. How could anyone daily read the church's book and not be a part of the church? And assuming that you are a part of a Bible-reading church, you will hear the Bible at least once a week in worship. And this brings us to one of the basics as to who we are at Daleville Christian Church. Daleville Christian Church is a church that reads the Bible. Daleville Christian Church is a church that takes the Bible seriously. For decades, many evangelists have encouraged people to attend a Bible-based church or a Bible-believing church. I've decided Bible-based is too vague. The church really needs to be a Bible-reading church. I claim Daleville Christian Church is one of those Bible-reading churches. And why are not more people Bible-reading people? Or why are there not more Bible-reading churches in the United States in the 21st century? All the answers I've been told boils down to one issue: practicality. When I drove a taxi cab for one summer in college, yes, I was a cab driver for one summer in college. You remember taxi cabs. That's what you used to use before Uber. And I was sitting in on a discussion with the other cab drivers, and they were pretty much in agreement that Jesus taught some wonderful things. Although I don't think they used the word wonderful. But Jesus taught some wonderful things, but Jesus' teachings just weren't practical. They had nothing against Jesus. They had nothing against Jesus' teachings. They just couldn't apply Jesus and what he said to their daily lives. Herein we find the inner contradiction of Americans in the 21st century. We value practicality and efficiency. We have valued these qualities since the industrial age began. Is there anything wrong with that? Well, that depends, doesn't it? The devil or evil can also want to be practical and efficient. Nazi Germany demonstrated that for everyone in World War II, as they attempted to erase an entire people from all of Europe, the Jewish people, Jesus' people, the Nazi Germany destruction of Jesus' people became very efficient, and the Nazis convinced themselves this was practical. So practicality and efficiency are not good in and of themselves. Americans, in claiming to desire practicality and efficiency, don't read like they used to. Some people question reading books or long articles at all. If you can't pick out what you need in a soundbite or a headline online with a video of a minute and a half, some Americans won't bother with it. Newspapers continue to go out of business all over the country, and many people get their so-called news from shared soundbites or Facebook. Generally, people do not seek out news organizations or professional organizations. We know what I'm saying is true, because this is how foreign governments use our own American media against us. Foreign countries know that Americans won't bother to try and find out what's true, so they put misinformation in front of us. Some of it sounds possible, but it isn't true. And then they know that Americans will share it and tell their friends to see it. Going viral doesn't mean that anything's true. It only means lots of people have seen it or heard it. People study this stuff, and I've included the links in the sermon notes for you if you want to read more about it. The Apostle Paul knew that some people won't bother finding out the truth. Romans chapter 1, verse 25, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Our Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So our own social media has become a part of the problem. Many people sharing things that may or may not be at all true, or half-truths, or stuff that sounds true, but things that are true and things that sound true, two different things. There was a comedian my sister and I laughed at uproariously as he described how he hated trying to read a newspaper. If the whole story couldn't be put in front of him on one page, he wasn't going to bother with it. He was reading along. The jury's decision on this precedent-setting case turned to page 2, and the comedian said, "I guess I'll never find out what happened." I'm afraid that many Americans fit this category. They don't have time to find out what's really going on. Now, there's a whole other sermon there. But is the truth easy to come by? Well, thousands of court cases in our country confirm the truth is not easy to come by. There's a new book by a man who was convicted and sentenced to death row for a crime he did not commit. And it took a persistent lawyer to prove it and get the man freed. The man had been before he was accused of the crime, was while he was in jail, and continued while he was on death row to be, and continues to this day to be, a person of faith in Jesus. The man was on death row for 30 years for a crime he did not commit. It took a persistent court battle to get at the truth of what happened. So truth may not be easy to come by. Truth may not be efficient for some Americans. But back to being practical and efficient. What is practical and efficient? It wouldn't surprise you that most Americans decide for themselves what is practical and efficient. To prove that, I Googled just two questions. One, do Americans eat breakfast? Only a third of Americans eat breakfast every day, although 54% of Americans say they would like to eat breakfast. The poll found that nearly all toddlers and preschool-aged children eat breakfast each day, but consumption falls as U.S. children grow older. That was the first question. Do Americans eat breakfast? Second, is breakfast the most important meal of the day? Breakfast is often described as the most important meal of the day, providing, as it does, sustenance and energy, not to mention vitamins and minerals, and provides that for whatever activities lay ahead. You know, your brain needs a lot of calories, uses a lot of calories. So you tell me, those two questions. Do Americans eat breakfast? Pretty much no. Is breakfast the most important meal of the day? Yes. Do Americans care about their health? Isn't taking care of your health a very practical and efficient thing to do? Americans' answer is no. Most Americans decide for themselves what is practical and efficient. Breakfast is not on most Americans' list. If thousands of people won't eat breakfast and thousands say they would like to eat breakfast, what's wrong? Well, the most common reasons people skip breakfast are they weren't hungry, didn't feel like eating, or were too busy. Now here, I will confess something about my own health. I have never said, I don't feel like eating. I have never said that. Even after finishing a meal, I've never said, I don't feel like eating. If I ever say, I don't feel like eating, it's a sure sign I'm already sick. I actually will sometimes use that for a self-check as to whether I'm ill or not. I might have a headache, my stomach feels funny. Am I sick? Well, I ask myself, do you want to eat? Answer, yes. So you're not sick. Therefore, I do not really understand my brothers and sisters in America who don't eat breakfast. You know what I call breakfast? Breakfast is an excuse to begin eating every day. If people make decisions about their own health with regard to breakfast, even claiming they would like to eat breakfast, and they don't because they're too busy and don't feel like it, if that's how people decide about breakfast and their health, which they claim to want to take care of by eating breakfast, why should they ever read the Bible? Because the Bible's good for you. The Bible's the most important book in the world ever. Would you be surprised if I told you that the Bible tells us why we should read the Bible? And we're going to get to that. But let me ask another question first. Why don't people go to worship in the 21st century? Fewer people attend worship services in this country fewer times a year than any time since World War II. And we're not even counting the pandemic at all. This is all before the pandemic. We're already at these low levels in 75 years, 80 years. And why is attending worship at such a low level? Same reasons. People don't feel like it. Worship doesn't work for them. Worship doesn't fit their schedule. Worship isn't practical. I can't argue about that. Worship is not practical. If by not being practical you mean efficient, finding schematic drawings for small repairs or replacing parts, questions being answered, profit-producing, profitable, practical answers to questions of daily living. Because you see, worship isn't all about this world. Worship was never intended to be all about this world. That's a whole other topic. Worship is about a bigger world, including the spiritual world, spiritual beings which we all are. It says in Philippians and Revelation that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Worship is about all those things. Worship is about all those things, and so is also reading the Bible about the things in heaven, the things in earth, and things under the earth. The Bible tells us about the things of earth and in heaven and things under the earth. And that's why you, Daleville Christian Church, that's why you read the Bible. You, Daleville Christian Church, know some things of God. One Christian book is entitled The Secret Things of God. It's not the best-selling book called The Secret, as seen on Oprah. This is a book by a Christian therapist called The Secret Things of God. One review states that the author, Dr. Henry Cloud, while recognizing and applauding the search for truth and a connection with a power beyond the human condition, Dr. Cloud leads listeners into a relationship with a God who loves them and has given all to save them. The Bible tells us about the things of earth and in heaven and things under the earth, and that is why you, Daleville Christian Church, come to worship to hear the reading of the Bible and of the sermon in worship, and to be at Jesus' table, which is mentioned in the church's book, the Bible. The Bible, the Apostle Paul speaks in the Bible of important spiritual activities in the worship, prayer, prophecy, the communion table. The Bible and its commentators lift up those things as most beneficial, those things that most Americans would probably never claim is efficient, time-saving, or practical. These things in worship are not efficient, time-saving, or practical as things of the world go, but they are the things of the spiritual world of which we are all a part, for we all have a spirit or a soul. The food of this table, Jesus' table, the Lord's table, communion table, I often admit, it isn't much food for our physical health. It's food for our spiritual health. Jesus speaks in John's Gospel three times, chapter 6, of the bread of heaven. Bread of heaven? What's that? Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Practical? Not as we usually think of practical. But it is life-giving. And life-giving is as practical as it gets. Isn't it? So, is reading the Bible practical? Not in the way most Americans think of as practical. You know, Jesus was confronted by Satan himself. And the tempter came to Jesus and said to him, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What does Satan offer Jesus? Something practical. Even something necessary to a fasting human being. And Jesus does not deny the practicality of what Satan offers. Bread is necessary for life and living. But Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. So not only should we all be eating breakfast, but that isn't all we should be taking in to start our day. Jesus added, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jesus is quoting the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8. So I've taken some 15, 20 minutes of your time this morning to remind you who you are, a Bible reading church that seeks to follow Jesus more nearly day by day. So for those who will hear this message, are there any practical and efficient takeaways from today's message? Yes, there are. First of all, if polls tell us that many of you would like to eat breakfast and yet you do not eat breakfast and it's important to your health, you might want to explore why exactly you don't want to work for your own health. That would be practical help. A question only you can answer for yourself, and then address that question. Find an answer to that disconnect in many Americans' lives. Second of all, yes, eat breakfast, but don't just eat breakfast. Jesus said, you and I, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Breakfast is ready. Amen.